So we will now begin the ceremonies, and to start off, this is Anagarika Meng, clearly marked over here on my right. And so he will begin by coming to say request the taking of the three refuges and the 10 precepts, but also I'm very happy to welcome Meng's family, his parents, mother and father, and his sister, and various nephews and other family members all gathered together, come over from France to be here for this occasion. So I'm very happy to welcome the whole family gathered for this auspicious event, and very glad they're also able to take part in this in terms of offering Meng his robes, so that he will have these ochre-coloured chivara to go forth into the novice's life with. So these Pali words that you've just recited, as you are well aware, they mean for the purpose of crossing over, for transcending all dukkha, all dissatisfaction, all unhappiness, and for the purpose of realizing nibbana, which means the fulfillment of our spiritual potential, the realization of complete freedom and peacefulness. This is the purpose of asking to take up the life of a samanera. So these robes, which are offered by Yom Anya for your going forth, these are, say, this is the vehicle to drive to carry you across to the other shore. But a vehicle does need a driver, so that's your job. The vehicle can only sit there without a driver. It can't really go places. So, in terms of undertaking this life of a novice, it's not just a matter of shaving the head and putting on the robe, but it's a moment by moment training. We have to learn how to drive our life. I know you're used to driving in Paris traffic, and you're a very competent driver on that score, and do very well on the roads here in England, but also driving our own mind and learning how to navigate through the difficulties of love and hate, success and failure, approval, disapproval, praise and criticism. These are far more testing than even the Champs-Élysées and the traffic on the M25. So the purpose of going forth and taking up the novice's training to undertake the 10 precepts and the deepening the renunciate life, so taking up the novice's life and giving up the use of money and putting aside your capacity to drive cars and to cook food and so forth. These are all methods of training to help you understand how the mind works and to learn how to find those qualities in life that are really reliable, to find that security and freedom within yourself that is potential that we all have as possibilities within ourselves. And these methods of training, these practices, these traditions are to help you to discover those fine qualities within yourself and to strengthen them, to bring them to the surface, and to help you to be your life to be a blessing to yourself and also to those around you. So the recitation of these words about taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha at the beginning of the ceremony, these are ancient. This is an ancient formula established from the very beginning of the Buddha's dispensation, the very start of the sasana. This is how the going forth was first established. In the beginning, the Buddha would just say, "Ehi bhikkhu," and say, "Come, bhikkhu," and that was all that was needed. But later on, when he asked other members of the Sangha to take responsibility for bringing others into the community, then he established the determination of the triple gem, the triple refuge, as the way that one establishes one's heart in the training. So we say these words, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. We say these words over and over, and sometimes the more we say them, the less they mean. It becomes automatic, but it's important to bring these words alive and to recollect whenever you bow to the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha, whenever you recite these words, what we are doing in that moment is to say, I choose to take refuge in the Buddha, I choose to be awake, I choose to be wise, I choose the path of awareness. Take refuge in the Dhamma is I choose to attune my life, to align my life with the way things are, with reality, with nature. And to take refuge in Sangha is to choose to incline your life towards the good, to listen to that in your heart which loves the good. To take refuge in Sangha is to choose that which is noble and respectful and sincere in life. So the biggest obstruction to taking refuge and to living in a way that is wise and awake and in tune with reality is you. is me, is the sense of I and me and mine, the self-centered patterns of thinking, the way the mind fixes on our personality, our body, our life story, and takes this to be an absolute reality. So many of the Buddha's teachings point to the quality of self-view, sakkayaditti, and help us to understand that and to break through those self-centered habits of thinking, egotistical, self-centered attitudes. The primary way and the instruction the Buddha gave for the pabbaja, the going forth, was to give a contemplation, a meditation, at this very entering into the homeless life, to help to cut through those habits of self-view. And these constitute the reflection on the external features of the body, so that you learn to let go of identification with your own body, your own personality, and also learn to look at other people in ways not just in terms of their external features, whether they are tall or short, good-looking, bad-looking, whether they're female or male, old or young. So we learn to look beyond the surface and to see the reality. So that I will repeat the external features of the body one by one in Pali, and then you should repeat those after me. Kesa, Loma, Nakha, Danta, Tacho, Tacho, Danta, Nakha, Loma, Kesa. Anagarika Meng will now go out and change into his new robes to slowly transform into the novice form. And when he comes back in, then he'll formally request the refuges and the 10 precepts. So this last Pali formula I was reciting, Kesa, Loma, Naka, Danta, Tacho, this is hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth and skin. So these are the external features of the body, and sometimes people might wonder, this is a strange thing to have as part of an ordination ceremony. Yeah, what's that got to do with being a monk, you know, worrying about what your nails look like, or thinking about hair and such like. But as I was saying in the giving advice to him, The one of the main obstacles to real happiness and freedom in life is the mind's fixation on I and me and mine, and the identification with our body, say, the way we look, how old we are, how young we are, whether we're healthy or sick. These are very strong and powerful influences. So the Buddha encouraged, right from the very start of monastic training, to teach ourselves to look at the body in a different way, rather than just fixating on what it looks like from the outside, whether we're, you know, strong and handsome or pretty and good looking, or whether we're attractive or unattractive, to say, look at the body from far more of a natural perspective, and just to see the external features of the body and the other aspects of ourselves as being parts of the natural order. So that having been born, having been young, like Meng's little nephew, who's here today, that when you're very small, then it's quite natural to be kind of making a bit of noise and to be kind of crawling around and not be able to speak properly. That's normal, because that's how things are when you're at the beginning of your life. As we grow up, then we all experience times of health and sickness, and the aging process continues, and as we grow up to adulthood, to old age, then the faculties of the body change, and after a certain amount of time, then we move around less easily, we can't hear so well, we can't see so well, our hair starts to fall out, and the body slows down, and we feel more and more aged, and the life process wears away. So the Buddha's teaching encourages us to see this as part of an inevitable and natural process, and not to just be attached to youth and beauty, or trying to be attractive, or the fearing sickness or fearing old age and the loss of our faculties, but rather to see the whole process as part of a natural cycle. Just like now, it is the autumn season. We don't walk past the trees and go, "Oh my goodness, poor trees, all the leaves are falling off, what a terrible disaster." You know, we think, "Oh, how beautiful, the leaves are changing their color." When our own hair changes color from black to gray, we don't think, "Oh, how beautiful, it's autumn." We think, "Oh no, I'm getting old." As the leaves turn and get all wrinkled and fall off, we don't feel that's some kind of terrible loss or a disaster. We see, well, it's just the way autumn is. But when we look in the mirror and we think, "Ooh, where did that old guy come from? Who's that wrinkled old bloke staring out of the mirror at me?" We think it's a loss, or something is unfortunate or sad. So these teachings of the Buddha, reflecting on the body, it's not a way of, say, creating a negativity towards the body, but more learning to change our perspective, so that we see that it's ordinary, it's natural for the body to have periods of health and vitality, well-being, and normal to have times of sickness and difficulty. It's a natural and inevitable process. And when we learn to look at the body in a slightly different way, then we are able to also look at our own personality in a different way. Also our own habits of mind, whether we're extrovert or introvert, whether we feel cheerful or whether we feel depressed. We can see our own moods, our personality, also as aspects of nature. These are all attributes of Dhamma, just the pattern of the way things are coming and going and changing. And then when we see our own mind, our own life, our habits as part of a natural order, then it makes our whole life a lot lighter and easier to be with. The last book of Lumpo Sumato's teachings, the founding abbot of this monastery, was the last book of his teachings that was published was called "Don't Take Your Life Personally." I think just in the title it says everything we need to know. That we take it all so personally, you know, succeeding and failing, being attracted or attractive or unattractive, being liked or being disliked. These things we take enormously personally, When we get praised, when we get criticized, we take it very personally. But when we take a step back and view things from the perspective of Dhamma, when we take a broader view, we realize, how could it possibly be that everybody that we meet likes us? Even someone like the Buddha, who is extraordinarily kind and wise, plenty of people didn't like him in his own lifetime. He was criticized and disliked, and people saw him as a competitor or someone who had bad ideas and was a dangerous, disruptive member of society. So to recognize some people are going to like us, some people are not going to like us. Some things we do are going to succeed, some things we do are going to fail. That's the way life is. We do our best, and then we learn to let go. And when we are able to handle our life in this way, with a lighter touch, then we realize that we have a capacity for clarity, for peacefulness, for inner calm, inner serenity, that is always available, no matter what the ups and downs are in life, whether things go well or things go badly, whether things are calm or there's a big storm, we're able to be at peace within ourselves. And this is the great strength and potential that is there, and that the Buddha's teachings are there to help us realize that very potential. This last part of the ceremony is what we call the taking of dependence. So the previous part was the determining of the three refuges, which I talked about. Then going through the 10 precepts, the standards of conduct that you're committing to live by. So taking this step, then in this community, this is an undertaking to fulfill the novice's training and practice for the period of 1 year. This is the commitment that is being made and is understood, so that you are, taking up the 10 precepts to refrain from killing anything, from stealing, from any kind of sexual activity, from lying and false and harmful speech, from using intoxicants, to refrain from eating in the afternoon or the evening, from using entertainments, beautification, adornment, to refrain from the use of money, and to always use a simple sleeping place. This is the basic renunciant form of the samanera, or the samana, the monastic in training. And so I expect you to do the best you can. You've shown yourself to be very committed, diligent, and attentive. As Nanagarika, you've done very well over the last year, and I hope that you'll continue to give the same kind of good effort and heartfelt intention, good noble intention to the training as a novice. This is a year's commitment, so that you are able to try out the monastic life, and a commitment is a framework that we use, and so that during this time I can guarantee there'll be some ups and downs. Things will go well and you'll feel great, and things will go really badly and you'll feel awful. That's not because I'm psychic, it's just because that's the way the world is, how life is for every one of us. So the training, or the undertaking as you go forth, is to learn both from the times when things go well and you're happy and cheerful and everything is smooth, and then learn from the times that things are difficult and awful and everything is going wrong. So this is the advice of our teacher Ajahn Chah over and over again. He would say that happiness and unhappiness, these are of equal value. When things go well or things go badly, these are of equal value, because they are equally good teachers for us. So I would encourage you to undertake the precepts in this spirit, and the training of novice, learning to say follow the etiquette. Now you've got this brown robe that always falls off the shoulder, so you have a new a new quality of mindfulness to develop. Also looking after your bowl. This is a clay bowl, extremely fragile, and the training rules that are around looking after the bowl are very specific, and the encouragement is to treat this as if it was the head of the Buddha himself. So you don't just use it to prop the door open with, or you sort of put your coffee cup down on top, or anything like that. That you treat the bowl with great respect and care, and you always make sure that the strings are neatly tucked in under your bowl strap. You know, and in monastic life, we talk a lot about liberation and the qualities of the heart. The meditation is all about working on the mind, but we use the 10,000 little details of our robes, our dwelling place, our interactions with the other monks and the nuns and the lay community. We use those 10,000 little details of our life to learn how to be unselfish, to learn how to be mindful, and to learn how to live with a compassionate heart. So this last part of the ceremony, taking dependence, this is having gone forth and taken up the renunciate life, then you've renounced the use of money, for at least for the next year. And you're as a conscious letting go of worldly security, but also there is a provision of the spiritual security in that you ask for dependence on myself as a teacher. So the words I said expressed my commitment to being available to you as a guide. So to what degree I can help to assist you to navigate through the traffic of happiness and unhappiness, praise and criticism, success and failure, good fortune and bad fortune. I'll be available to do that. And this last verse is Ajatage Dani Tero. It says, from this day on, I will be the burden of the elder, and the elder's burden will be mine. So this is an agreement I'm also happy to make, so that you can be my burden. I'll take on the challenge of looking after you, and seeing that your spiritual training is carried out in a good and comprehensive, well-integrated and caring way. And then my burden is yours. That means that you're helping to look after the monastery, your duties around the place, and to support myself and the other members of the Sangha in the best ways that you can. So I think that's enough by way of good advice. So welcome to the Noble Order of Samaniras. And the last thing that remains to do is for us to give us our blessing, and also I'll give you a new name, which I have right here, so that as you go forth and you let go of your driving wheel, the steering wheel of the van, and you let go of your money bag, you let go of your stirring spoon for the kitchen, we also give you a new name to go through life with. So this is for you. You can open it up now if you like. So this is not to increase your egotistical habits, but to help you to unplug them. It's a nice, easy one. So the name that we have decided to give is Dipako. Dipa is the word for light, and so Dipako is one who is bright and one who is filled with the light of Dhamma. So also is quite short, easy to spell, and I checked to make sure it wasn't offensive in Chinese or Cambodian or French. So it's always a consideration these days. So Dipako is the new name. So may that serve you well. And we'll now chant our blessing to complete the ceremony. So I'd just like to finish by expressing my gratitude to Ajahn Yanarato, who's the supreme trainer of novices, our ritual master of Amravati, also to Ajahn Kongrit, who was responsible for helping Samanera Dipako to learn how to sew. I should inform his parents that Ajahn Kongrit was extremely impressed with how good a sewer that the Samanera Dipako was. He said this is obviously his family has trained him well, because he just would show him once and then he could do it all very neatly. So Ajahn Kongrit has great hopes for you in the sewing department. And so Ajahn Kongrit is not here today. He's at the Italian monastery for their Katina, so but I express my gratitude to him also for helping to train our new novice. So we'll close now with paying our respects to the Triple Gem, and then afterwards the family will have a few photographs with our new novice together, and then he'll be available to receive other visitors and friends in the Bodhinyana Hall. The sala is being used for the Saturday class, and so Samanera Dipako will be in the Bodhinyana Hall if people want to express their good wishes and say be available to meet people there.